Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Donald Trump is running for president to stay out of prison.
I say that the way I put it is he's running from prison. He's running from prison. He's not running for president. He is running from prison, and it's going to catch up to him.
Hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, I got one too.
You know, guys, there's like a line outside the door, and I thought, oh, these people are waiting to get in, and then I walked in, and you're all already in here. Wow, okay, hi, hello, thank you. Man, great to see you guys. Can you believe this?
Are this
you guys?
Is amazing.
You guys are all here for me, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they're here for you, it's possible.
I don't know, I think they're here for both of us. I think we have this comedy routine that really works well.
We do. Yeah. We're taking the show on the road. Yeah. How were you guys just all in the bull? Anybody in the bulwark thing? Yeah. All right. Man, love this. Okay, well, guys, I'm Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark, and I'm here with my good friend George Conway from the Society for the Rule of Law, and because I'm not a lawyer, I've asked him to explain today's legal news to me. So we're going to do a live podcast right now, for real. But for those who are listening, in this podcast once it gets released, for people who listen to us regularly, because we're in the room with all these wonderful people, I'm going to take some steps back and talk about why we started this thing in the first place. Okay? So I've got a big picture question for you out of the gate. We started this because we thought that this election... Like, we started this thing because we thought that this election was going to be primarily about Trump's legal troubles.
I don't know that I thought that. I thought that it would be a big storyline, and it has been. But at the end of the day, we have to save ourselves. So.
Yeah, don't you think? I mean, I think the big lesson is, you know, because at the Bulwark, we tend to just be like, it'd be cool to do this thing. And then we see how it goes. And we started this because we did, you know, Donald Trump was up. How many criminal cases were there? How many indictments were there?
Four indictments, 88 counts.
88 counts.
I think there were originally 91. He got, you know, three of them came out. That's a very small winning percentage.
Yes. And we did think that the sort of run up to this was going to be dominated by these cases moving along. But that actually hasn't been the case.
No, it hasn't been the case because he, you know, I mean, one thing that Donald Trump has learned how to do very well over the years is to multiply proceedings and slow them down. And he successfully did that here with some help from the Supreme Court. And, look, I mean, at the end of the day, I think he's going to get his because, it's up to us to make sure because if we don't vote him, if he's elected president, then all bets are off. But if he's not elected president, then the law is going to apply to him. And I don't think he's got a good chance of surviving all four of these indictments without ending up with a significant prison term.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, people really like it when you say Trump's going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's going to go to jail. I think he's going to go to jail for a good chunk of his remaining natural life. I've said that for a long time. And the only way that doesn't happen is if he wins on November 5th.
And this is one of the things that I think I was sort of leading up to this with the question, which is we thought that there was going to be much more like direct activity in these legal cases. And as a result, the fact that it hasn't happened, right, he got convicted obviously on 34 counts, but the fact that it hasn't happened means that, look, when I do the focus groups, people are aware he's a convicted felon.
Right.
They're into the prosecutor felon frame. But I wouldn't say that the court cases come up a ton. Like, that is not at the top of people's minds.
Which tells you something about him.
Well, but you know whose mind it is on top of? On the top of?
Mine?
Yeah, you. His.
Yes, his. Yes, whatever. If there is room in there, there's a lot of room for a lot of things. And yeah, the criminal stuff does rattle around in there. And he's very sensitive about that.
But I think that one of our thesis that we've settled on is that Donald Trump is running for president to stay out of prison.
I say that the way I put it is he's running from prison. He's running from prison. He's not running for president. He is running from prison, and it's going to catch up to him.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
So,
well, finally, he has to lose for that to happen.
He has to lose, so, you know, everybody get out there, get or vote early. Don't vote often, that would be bad. Vote early, so.
But why do you think, because one of the things that I think I am frustrated about is that there are a number, the court cases that haven't moved forward, the documents case, the January 6th case, both of these are essential to what kind of president he would be, right? Like, is he somebody we can trust
documents? No, look, I mean, basically it comes down to the fact that he is a narcissistic sociopath. He only cares about himself. He doesn't care about the rules, doesn't care about how his actions affect anyone else's. All he cares about is getting away, whatever he can get away with, to advance his ego or his pocketbook in any given moment. And that is completely incompatible with any office of public trust. And it's also particularly incompatible with an office of public trust that requires you to enforce the Constitution and laws of the United States. They don't mean anything to him. They only mean, you know, things that can be used against other people. And that's exactly why those two cases, as you point out, matter. But, you know, look, I mean, it happens in litigation. Things don't always go the way you expect in litigation, and things always take longer. He got very, very lucky in that Florida case. Very lucky. I mean, literally 1 in 600, I think, was you know, there probably isn't another federal judge in the country who would have cut him the kind of slack that she has cut him in that case. But that said, I mean, that could come to an end pretty soon. The other case, you know, that was, if they had brought that case a little sooner, I don't want to attack the Justice Department. I can't you know, it's far be it for me to judge what they had to do to get to the point where they were willing to prosecute Donald Trump for his January 6th offenses. But
thank
in that
you,
case,
Liz Cheney and the January 6th Commission,
right,
by the way, because that's what it took.
Right.
To actually
well, I,
do
I mean, that's, you know, I you do wonder. I don't know what would have happened if it weren't for that. Committee. And you know, if this case, I thought this case should have, that investigation of Trump should have started in January 2021, and maybe it did, and maybe it took a long time because they were working on the lower people and to move all the way up to the, you know, the big boss. But if it had happened sooner, we wouldn't have had this problem.
Let me ask you, I'm just going to ask the audience, how many of you expected that some of these court cases would have been completed by the time we got to the election?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many cases that get. I mean, look at Bob Menendez. He was indicted last year. He's already been convicted. There was no reason. That documents case in particular should have been tried last year. I mean, it should have been tried. I mean, when did the warrant? The warrant was 2022, right? Yeah, I'm looking at. Look, Rick always knows. Yeah, Rick, you know. It was 2022. That case should have been tried by the end of last year. Yes, there are a lot of issues involving classified documents, and you have to jump through different hoops to present classified documents in open court and to a jury. But the fact of the matter is, the content of those documents didn't matter other than the fact that overall they had stuff like nuclear secrets in it and stuff like that. So that.
Which you normally keep in your bathroom.
Which you normally do not. Right, you know, yeah, you don't normally do. Yeah, it's. I mean, he was caught with the drugs. This is basically like a simple drug bust case. They found him with the stuff. There's no question what the stuff is. We can read it closely. We can read it like this. It's the stuff is the stuff. It belongs to the United States government. It's sensitive military material. This guy should be in jail already. And only because of this judge. He got very lucky with this judge who isn't very good. Which may be actually a good thing, because if she were actually good, she might have figured out a way to deep six the case permanently, but I doubt that. So, you know, she has made continual errors all in one direction, funny thing is. And the only thing I can say about that case right now is that it's going up to the Court of Appeals one more time for a very, very stupid issue. She dismissed the case on the grounds that the Justice Department, the Attorney General, supposedly does not have the power to appoint people to prosecute cases. I mean, essentially, that's it, which would make no sense whatsoever. It didn't make sense to the Supreme Court of the United States against Nixon, where they said, oh, yeah, sure, Archibald Cox and Leon Jaworski were properly appointed. So she's going to get reversed. And the question is whether in the 11th Circuit, which is the Court of Appeals for Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, if they finally say, okay, this is the third time we've been up here with this bullshit, and you got the last two cases you came up here with were completely off the wall, and there's a three strikes rule, a kind of an implicit three strikes rule in that Court of Appeals, that if a judge gets things wrong three times in a certain direction, the Court of Appeals reserves the right, exercising its inherent power to supervise, to get rid of this judge. And the question is whether that happens this time. Because if it does, then we're going to see a case in the next year tried, and he's going to go to jail on that one. Now, the other one, the January 6th case, I think, you know, that's going to be tried next year at this rate, assuming, again, he loses. The Judge Chutkan set yesterday a pretty good schedule to basically start getting the immunity issues resolved. Maybe there'll be another appeal. Maybe it'll take another year. But, you know, that case is going to proceed. These cases will all proceed sooner or later if he's not elected president, and he will. I mean, he should do substantial time for at least those two, certainly, and the Georgia one as well. Well, this show is sponsored by True Classic. Sarah, I've been sent some True Classics t-shirts, and they just fit so perfectly. I honestly don't know why other t-shirts aren't made exactly the same way. Finding just the right fit has always been such a hassle. But what's great about True Classic is that their products are specifically designed to highlight your best features. Their shirts are the perfect fit, and they sell premium products at an affordable price. You can get their best-selling t-shirts, hoodies, jeans, and more in 3, 6, and 9 packs. Plus, their activewear crew necks offer moisture wicking, quick dry, and odor control. So you can pair them with their super soft, stretchy joggers for all day comfort. I gotta tell you, I've tried these shirts. They're amazing. Right now, you can unlock big savings when you bundle items site wide. Just go to my exclusive link at trueclassic.com/askgeorge to save. That's trueclassic.com/askgeorge. Shop now and elevate your wardrobe today.
George, I got some of those for my brother-in-law, I gotta say. And he got him some of the joggers, some of the t-shirts, and yeah, he looked really great and he loved them.
All right. Glad to hear it. That's two of us.
I was gonna save this to the end because it's sort of a provocative question, but this is a natural time to bring it up, which is, I know how badly you want this man to go to prison.
Yes. Well, I mean, because justice requires it.
Sure. Yes, it does. Here's my question, though. Do you think, because I suspect this is the case, that if Kamala Harris beats Donald Trump, she will pardon him? Everybody settle down. Hold on. All right.
She will pardon them when the Pope, I don't know, whatever. You're going to make something else.
Does
something in the woods.
I think you will see a for national comedy, not comedy, but comity. You don't think that she won't feel a sense of the audience? You don't get to phone a friend, though. Like, we're not going to poll the audience. What do you think? Do you think that she could potentially pardon Donald Trump?
I'll move to impeach her right now.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she can do that. I mean, I think this guy is so extreme that what he has done is so extreme. I think for the historical record, we need to get all these cases tried just so that we can see. And I think there's just even more. We're going to find out more about this guy than we even imagine. I honestly believe.
Let me push back on this slightly at the risk of causing an insurrection in the room. I could see absolutely letting the cases proceed,
yeah,
having him be convicted in them. The question is what does it mean for a former president to go to prison by the Department of Justice? And let's say he loses, and let's say what are the condition of his being pardoned is that he never gets to run for elected office again. He's like gotta be in an orange jumpsuit for you. He needs to die in jail, definitely.
Look, the only deal I would take is if we could eject him into the Oort cloud. You know what the Oort cloud is?
The Oort cloud?
The Oort cloud.
The Oort cloud.
O-R-T. Yeah, it's about 200,000 astronomical units to about 3.5 light years away. It surrounds the solar system.
Okay.
So if you can... eject him past the orbit of Pluto, then I'm okay. I mean, that's basically it. The Oort cloud. O-O-R-T. Look it up. It's like, this is exactly where we want to have Donald Trump.
Okay. You know, maybe I'm just tired of all the cheering, and I'm just going to push this a little bit further. What do you think would happen as a consequence among Trump supporters if Donald Trump went to jail? Like, what do you think would happen in the country?
I think people would go back to what they've been normally doing. I honestly don't think. I think there are a lot of lunatics who support him, but they think it's more like sport. And I do think there's the danger of the isolated person with the isolated weapon. I mean, you know, he does tend to stir those people up, but I don't think these people are organized enough or smart enough to launch any kind of insurrection based on the fact that this man goes to jail. They don't really care that much. They fall asleep during his rallies. Okay? Did you see those poor people who had to sit through his convention acceptance speech in Milwaukee? I mean, I actually felt sorry for them. They were like, they were trying to stay awake. So I just don't think he generates that kind of energy anymore. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, most Americans do think he should go to jail because he's a criminal and he's shown it over and over again.
I think there is, I can honestly see this a little bit both ways. I think it's very important he be tried and convicted of the things that he did so that people understand, especially now that the Supreme Court, and maybe we should touch on this, now that the Supreme Court has said that presidents have this kind of immunity like they've never had, where previously one of the hallmarks of our democracy was that nobody was above the law, including the president, I think that it is important for people to see that play out. I think it's important that people know that you can't just break the law, even as president, and get away with it completely. So I can see that.
Yeah.
I can also see that there's got to be some way to turn the page on this horrific moment. And I wonder what that looks like.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
You can't see any reason why she could pardon him as a nod to us. Coming back together.
I don't see her doing that, and I think it's just asking for trouble. And I think it's the same way. It would be, you know, a compounded version of the mistake that Mitch McConnell made in 2021 when he figured, hey, let's just acquit the guy. He's going to go away anyway. He doesn't go away. Okay, he just does not go away. He is not going to go away until his last breath. Okay, and it may not be. He may not be coherent. He may be. It may
be. He's already not coherent.
He's already not coherent. But he's just not going to go away. And you know, the only way he goes away is the way recidivist criminals should go away. That's my view of him.
Okay, I guess go ahead and clap. Everybody wants to clap for George on that. Are you surprised that this hasn't had? I mean, one of the hallmarks of Donald Trump is the way he defies normal, just political rules. Like the idea of having 88 counts against you, 88 indictments, or is 88 counts?
Four indictments. Yeah.
This is why I'm not the lawyer. That is unprecedented. It's unprecedented.
So
that
much winning.
So much winning. Why do you think it hasn't had more of an impact? I mean, clearly you've convinced this room, but why isn't it convinced more voters?
This is because we got used to it. I mean, we were the frogs boiling in the water. You know, the water got up temperature bit by bit. It's like, you know, we're used to this guy.
Yeah, we're real cooked.
We're used to this guy. I mean, it's psychologists, sociologists, they call it malignant normality. What was once just like any one of about 1,000 different things would have been too much. But this guy, because he keeps piling them on, we reach new plateaus or new depths of lowness. And it's amazing that we can even fathom it, that we are in this middle of an election where one of the candidates is a convicted felon. That's one of the things I think that people are going to be struggling with for decades in writing about this era. Psychologists and historians, and you know how basically the abnormal became the normal.
All right, so there's a debate coming up on Tuesday. Okay, the prosecutor versus the felon. How much should she talk about the criminal convictions, and like both his criminal convictions in the hush money case, and then the January 6th, all the other cases.
I think she has to be careful talking about the federal cases. Okay, because she would be the president who's appointing the attorney general who will be prosecuting those cases. That said, she should not shy away from saying that he launched an insurrection, because that's what he did. She should not shy away from saying that he has 34 felony convictions under his belt. And it's just that I think she just has to be careful not to be pressing the case for the prosecution of these federal crimes. And that's for her, and she's been handling that perfectly in her rallies when people say, lock them up, and say, well, do we have to worry about November? The courts will worry about that. And that's exactly the right approach for her.
Are you the one starting the lock them up chants at those things? I'm always looking for you.
Probably.
Yeah.
I could do that, yeah.
All right, so we do have to do a quick roundup of the criminal cases.
Okay.
Because we've been talking about them on the pod for a long time. So I want to start with the case where he's already been convicted, the New York election interference hush money case, right? This is the case where he's got the 34 felonies. But can you just give us like a 60-second refresher on Trump's underlying criminal conduct in that case? What did he do?
His underlying criminal conduct is, okay, what he did was he falsified records to cover up the payment of money to Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
And under New York law, it's illegal to cook the books. Whether or not you're running a public company or a private company, you have a legal obligation to keep accurate books and records for the simple reason that if somebody ever had to come in and rely on those books and records, they could know that they are accurate, whether they be bankers, lenders, tax authorities, or whatever. And the only issue was whether or not it could be charged as a felony or as a misdemeanor. And ordinarily, it starts off as a misdemeanor, this charge, as a second degree falsification of business records. It becomes first degree falsification of business records when the falsification of business records is performed to further another crime. And here the other crime was, well, it was an illegal election contribution. He was making an illegal, you know, expenditure that wasn't reported, an expenditure by Michael Cohen, and they were covering that up. And then he was reimbursing that, which is also illegal, and it was none of it was disclosed. So basically, that's the crime. It's pretty simple, and that's what he was convicted of.
And the jury thought so, too.
And the jury thought so, too.
All right, so he's convicted of this. So the sentencing was originally scheduled for July
11th. Well, yes, July
11th. And then they moved it to the 18th?
They moved it to the 18th.
But we thought we were going to get it last month.
Yeah, no, what happened was, after the Supreme Court's decision in that immunity case, there was some suggestion in there that evidence, even if the charges weren't specifically for official conduct, you could not use official conduct as evidence to submit to prove other crimes. And so the question was, there was a small bit of evidence where Hope Hicks was testifying in open court at this New York criminal trial that at the White House, she had a conversation with Trump about whether or not it was such a good idea to pay the woman off. And he said, yeah, it was a good idea to pay the woman off. And, you know, the answer, so the defense is going to argue, oh, those were official acts, that was official conduct in the White House. Like, no, it wasn't. He was talking about paying off a porn star with his own cash money. I didn't see that anywhere in Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States. Let's just put it that way. But that's the argument. So he, you know, they wanted to brief that, so they put, you know, he gave them more time to brief that, the judge, Justice Mershon, and then he was going to rule on that motion and then hold the sentencing on September 18th, but he just deferred holding the sentence.
So he did. So this is the part I want to get to, because this is the important things. So Judge Mershon just pushed it back to November 26th.
Yep.
What's important about that is that it's after the election, so we are not going to get sentencing before the election. Do you think that was a good call?
I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, I don't know. What was his reasoning? Did he have a specific reason?
I mean, I think that he's currently polling within 2 points as running for the president of the United States, and it feels pretty political.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me, yeah, I guess maybe he was afraid that he was going to look like he's done something political, but the problem is if you do that and you defer a sentencing that you already scheduled, that looks political, and it's sort of you're damned if you do and if you're damned if you don't. And that's why I like Judge Chutkan's approach, which was, look, I don't care one way or the other about this campaign. It's not my business. And you can't, if you're a judge, you can't really sit around trying to figure out when the best or worst moments are to release information or to conduct a proceeding, because then you're playing politics, one way or the other. And you're going to get it wrong, because nobody knows what the politics, you really don't know what the politics are all of this. I think that, for example, the criminal trial in New York actually helped Trump in a lot of ways. Not by the conviction, but what happened was it delayed the onset of the campaign where we were actually seeing this lunatic talk about Hannibal Lecter, right? I mean, it's like...
And electrocuting sharks.
He was talking about Hannibal Lecter. He talked about Hannibal Lecter once during the trial he gave some speech in Wildwood, New Jersey, because I guess it's closer to the courthouse than other places. And he was talking about that, but it got little attention. But once he got out of that trial and started talking for real to the American people, we need more of that. We need absolutely more of that. We need him out there every day on the campaign, with J.D. Vance, of course. And, and that helps. So we don't know exactly how these things help or hurt. I don't think a sentence would have helped him. But at the same time, you know, this case has been proceeding along, and I don't think there was any reason to defer the sentence. And I like... I like Chutkan's approach. Chutkan's approach is, I can't figure this out. I'm not going to try to figure out what the schedule is. All I know is you have a brief due. So.
Okay. So let's say Trump wins the election. Okay. What? And then he's sentenced. Okay, so everybody call... It's just, we're hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Okay? So let's say in this hypothetical world, Donald Trump has won the election. It's November 9th, 10th. We get to November 26th, and he gets his sentence.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Well, he'll still be sentenced, but I don't think they'll ever be able to, you know, execute on the sentence until after he's president.
At which point he just comes in and pardons himself for everything.
No,
right?
He doesn't pardon himself. It's just that there's going to be no authority for any federal or state official to overcome Article 2 of the Constitution, which says he's the president of the United States, and he's, you know, you have to allow the president to go out and do his job. You can't arrest him and keep him from doing his job. So I do think that, you know, I mean, the Justice Department's historic position has been that you cannot even prosecute a sitting president. You can't indict them, you can't prosecute them. My view is probably you can't incarcerate one, but, you know, as a practical matter, they're not going to, you know, the Justice Department is not going to prosecute a sitting president, okay, because he's
will
the
they
boss.
Will they go through with the sentencing, though?
I mean, yeah, I think they'll go through the sentencing because he's not yet president. And then the sentence, they will never be able to execute on the sentence. He'll appeal the conviction. He can still appeal the conviction, or he could probably stay the proceedings at that point. But there's going to be no basis to put him in jail if he's president.
All right, George, this show is also sponsored by Aura Frames. Now, here's the thing about birthdays. You just had one, as I recall.
Very recently.
They happen all year long. All year long, you got people in your life having birthdays that you got to get presents for. I didn't get you a present, did I?
No.
Perhaps I'll give you an Aura frame. So because birthdays happen all year long, there is probably someone in your life you should be buying a gift for right now. George, what'd you get for your birthday recently?
Nothing.
Nothing? But no. Probably some memories that you'd like to frame, right? You made some memories that you'd like to frame? Okay. So you should give the people in your life who are having a birthday something really special with an Aura digital frame. Ranked the number one digital picture frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are easy to set up, update, and enjoy.
Oh,
plus,
wow.
Aura frames can be preloaded with photos and gift messages, so whether you're giving the frame to your sister, grandma, or your mother-in-law, you can be sure your gift is personalized just for them. I myself have two children who are just starting school, which means we're doing nothing but taking their photos. Also, I like to look at photos of my children all the time, as well as subject other humans to photos of my children. And so an Aura picture frame is perfect for me because I want everyone to see my kids. So the best part is that it comes with unlimited storage because we need to take so many pictures of our kids. So all you need is the free Aura app and a Wi-Fi connection, and you can upload as many photos and videos as you want to year round. Right now, Aura is having their very first friends and family sale, and we've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. For a limited time only, you can get $35 off their best-selling frame by visiting AuraFrames.com and using the promo code AskGeorge at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code AskGeorge. This is the best offer of the season, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply. So then let's imagine the opposite hypothetical. Trump has lost. Okay, it's November 26th. Yes, great news. All right, we're all feeling really good.
We don't have to go to Guantanamo.
Yes, it's good for us.
Yes.
Because, you know, speaking of orange jumpsuits,
they're
coming for us after
absolutely.
If he wins. Right. So let's say Kamala wins. We're running free.
Right. There's no bulwark section in Guantanamo.
Yeah, that's good. Do you think that Trump could still see prison time on this particular sentence?
Yes. And I don't know what Judge Justice Merchan has in mind, but there are a lot of factors here that point in favor of a relatively short sentence. I mean, the fact is that, what he's got going in his favor is he's a first-time offender. In the sense that it's the first time he ever
got caught.
That cuts against the sentence. The cuts in favor of the sentence is there were 34 felonies. He was held in contempt of the court how many times? 10 times. He's absolutely shown zero remorse or regret. He has shown nothing but disrespect for the court and for the legal process. And ordinarily I think that would get you a jail term. I don't know.
Like weeks or like a couple months or?
I think you could get several months to a year and a half, I think. I'm just guessing, but that's what I would give him. He could get up to 4 years for each one of these counts. I don't think he'll get that. But I'd give him 12.
There's a lot of people in this room who really want to see him in jail. You have competition here for how badly people want to see him in jail. That would be pretty wild for him to come off the trail. having lost a Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was hoping, I have my psychopath, about psychopath. One of the things I wanted to do if he got sentenced was, now it's not going to happen. If he got sentenced on the 18th, one of the things that happens with a criminal sentence in a court in New York City is if it's like less than a year and a half or a year, you're presumptively sent to Rikers. Now, they were never going to send him to Rikers, but if he got that kind of sentence, I was hoping to put up a billboard on the BQE, the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, or the Grand Central Expressway, and it was going to say, this way to Rikers Island, future home of President Donald J. Trump.
What's stopping you from doing that right now, actually?
Don't.
Yeah, actually, what am I giving you bad ideas? Okay, all right, let's move on to the January 6th case. So Jack Smith, special counsel in that case, he brought the indictment against Trump in the D.C. District Court, which is the federal trial court in D.C., for attempting to overturn an election. Seems like a big deal. Seems like something
that's bad.
Would have been good to litigate for the American people. This is the one that makes me the angriest, because it is...
You don't want to get her angry.
Yeah, well, this is the one where... The American people should know going into this election, it should have been adjudicated whether or not Trump is going to be held criminally liable for trying to overturn an election.
Yes.
Seems like a thing that should have happened.
It should have happened.
And who do you blame for it not happening? You said, sorry, do you think it's the DOJ? Do you think it's...
I think the Supreme Court, the DOJ. I just think it's just a confluence of events that caused it not to happen earlier. It should have happened sooner.
Why do you think they didn't?
Why do you think what did it?
Yeah, just why do you think, his name? Merrick Garland didn't pursue this from the jump.
I want to be fair to Merrick Garland, but I do think, and someday we'll see in the books, I do think that they were just hoping it'd go away. I do think there was a sense at the beginning of the Biden administration that they had enough. The country was exhausted with Trump. We were exhausted with Trump. The administration didn't want to deal with Trump. They had, you become president, you got a lot of stuff to do. And Donald Trump, and Donald Trump really wasn't high on the priority list. People were just exhausted with him. And that was a mistake. I think it was a mistake to think that it wasn't important. It wasn't important to prosecute him from the very beginning, because I think they should have started at the top.
Yeah. And really, they wouldn't have done it if the January 6th committee hadn't happened to put so much evidence in front of them that forced them into pursuing it. Correct.
I don't know that that's true, but I certainly suspect that.
Okay. I think it's true.
You think it's true.
So one of the things that's crazy.
We'll
about
find
the,
out someday.
Someone's going to write a book.
Or several.
So Trump argued that he was immune from prosecution in the January 6th case. Then the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals said he wasn't immune from prosecution. Then the U.S. Supreme Court said, yes, he is immune from prosecution for core presidential conduct. I've got that little thing in there.
Yeah.
Which is some, but not all, of what was alleged in the indictment, right? So there's lots of outside his core function as president, which Jack Smith now has brought the case back to Chutkan's trial court. Right? He brought a superseding indictment to make sure that the charges are within the bounds of the Supreme Court's presidential immunity decision. First of all, I got that right, I think.
Yes.
Right? I've been listening to
you
explain things to me.
You don't need me.
All right, so what's the latest in this case, though?
Oh, the latest is that she held a status conference, Judge Chutkan, just Thursday, and she went through the parties' proposed scheduling submissions, and essentially Trump's submission was, we all have all these motions that are directed to basically the ability of the special counsel to prosecute this case, and a motion to dismiss, and bad prosecutorial misconduct. Let's do all that first before we start talking about the evidence that is either, that could be subject to the immunity claim or not. They were trying to slow it down by having her do one thing at a time. She wasn't having any part of that. The Justice Department came in and says, we've revised our indictment, we took out some stuff that the Supreme Court said was probably out of bounds, and we did tweak the indictment, and we're ready to basically present our opening brief as soon as possible, explaining what it is and why it is we think everything in the indictment is chargeable under the Supreme Court's decision, and we've got a lot of evidence we want to show you, Judge, that we're going to use to prove the charges in that indictment, and you need to look at that too, because you need to bless it as stuff that can be admitted, notwithstanding the Supreme Court's immunity decision. So that brief is now due on the 26th of September, and it's going to be a brief, and it's going to be exhibits, and it's going to be a doozy, because essentially that pile of paper is going to summarize Jack Smith's case against Donald J. Trump. Now, the problem is we're probably not going to get to see all of it, because a lot of it will be grand jury material. It will be filed under seal. But you're going to have it. You have this game where reporters are going to look at what is behind that black line there, and what's that? And we're all going to speculate. And this is a massive conspiracy to blacked out. See, there was a massive conspiracy to something. You know, there'll be all sorts of fun things to look at in those papers, and that'll be on the 26th. And then in the middle of October, the Trump people will respond, and then right at the end of October, there'll be a reply brief by Jack Smith's people, and we're going to learn something about the case. We may not learn everything, because again, a lot of this stuff will be under seal, but there's probably going to be some interesting things that we learn in the next 2 months.
So this is one of those cases where if he was convicted.
Yeah.
This is not like the little jail time
no.
for the hush money case or the fraud. This is like serious stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty serious.
What happens if he gets convicted in the January 6th case?
He's gonna go to jail.
But like for how long? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he can go to jail.
If we just did a podcast and it was just you saying over and over again, Donald Trump is going to jail, I think it would do huge numbers, honestly.
Hey, look.
I think there's like a real market for that.
How much do you think I could get for a ringtone? Donald Trump is going to jail. Donald Trump is going to jail.
One lucky winner in the audience. It's a George Conway ringtone.
If I could get like a penny every time the phone rings, I don't know. I mean, I could.
But like, is that years? Like, is that the rest of his natural born life for that one?
I think he could get a few years there. And I think he's got looking at, you know.
Do you only get a few years for trying to overturn an election?
I don't know. We don't have precedent on this, because no president ever tried this before. But no, he could get a few years for that, and he could get like 10 or 15 years for the documents case. He should.
Yeah, the documents case.
The documents case. That's just serious.
Open and shut. That's like the bathroom
open and
door.
Shut,
open and
it's
shut.
Like, it's crazy. If you or I had taken those documents out of the White House, we were like, you know, national security staff. We'd be in jail already.
Yeah.
And we'd be doing 10 years.
All right, so I'm going to ask sort of a different version of the question around the election interference. So if Trump loses again, safe to assume he doesn't take that lying down quietly. Now, he's got less power than he did last time, right? He doesn't have the entire force of the federal government at his disposal. But is it possible that he could commit additional electoral crimes?
Yes.
Of
course. Nothing will stop Donald Trump from committing further crimes. I mean, that's just his nature. He's a criminal. He's a sociopath. And he's going to continue to lie about about whether he lost the election. Although he's really losing it. He can't keep his story straight. He said the other day he lost 2020 by a whisker. And did you see that? Did you see Nick Fuentes? Nick Fuentes, okay, he's the Nazi guy.
It was white supremacist
Happy
Hour.
The Nazi guy who was a nice guy who had dinner with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, who doesn't have dinner with Nazis at their private golf club? But he got really mad on his internet show about Trump saying lost by a whisker. He's like, lost by a whisker? Then what was this all for? Why did 1,600 of us go to jail? Why did this? It was really pretty funny. I mean, he's like, you're telling us now you lost? That means you're a loser. And this is his own guy, his own Nazi.
It's almost like you can't trust a white supremacist anymore.
I know. No, it was very upset. He was very upset. It's like, there's a code of honor among sociopaths. The damn couldn't keep this. He couldn't keep telling the same lie. He had to change his lie. That's dishonorable. You have to stick to the same lie.
To be fair, I watched the entire clip, and before Donald Trump says, "and I lost by a whisker," he goes on an insane rant about, with all the fraud and all the things they did to cheat, I still only lost by a whisker. So I think it was taken as a full admission, but I think it was a little bit of him still doing the thing.
Yeah.
The weed.
The weed. Yeah.
A masterclass in, since you mentioned Psychopack, I'm trying to do a grown-up show about legal things.
Yes.
But I know you always like to get it off your chest a little bit about how Trump's doing emotionally.
No, he's not having a good time. I mean, you know, Rick's got ads there that are annoying the shit out of him. I've got ads that are annoying. Yep. We ran an ad. Actually, the first thing we did for Psychopack was I did an introductory video where I go through, you know, he's a narcissistic sociopath, which I love to talk about, and I point out that, you know, if you understand his personality disorders and they're right, you know, you lay them out in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. You understand those personality disorders. You'll understand why he loves authoritarians and dictators and why he is an authoritarian and why he's a misogynist and a racist and all this stuff. He actually, at a rally in Asheville, North Carolina, just before the Democratic convention, he started saying, "and I get along with all these dictators. Some people say it's a personality defect." I was like, literally, we got into his head that he has a personality disorder. You know, this stuff is just bouncing around in his brain, and now he's like, "I'm not weird, no one's weird, I'm not weird, who's weird, I'm not weird." It's like, it's kind of weird to talk about not being weird, dude. So everybody's just got to get into his head. I think the Democrats finally got it, for once. You know, you have President Obama doing this thing. I mean, I would have never thought, you know, Barack Obama to do. But, you know,
Trump has reduced all of us a little bit.
Look, you know, you got to wage the weapons you're given in particular kinds of wars. And this is the, you know, he all of the things that he thinks work against other people work 100 times better on him. Okay. He's a schoolyard bully. Okay. Na 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 na. You know, look at your orange face. Hi.
You know, speaking of...
This is a serious podcast. Discussing serious issues of law and public policy.
I put down the notes about going through the cases because clearly they're here for
You know what was argued yesterday?
I can read a room.
Yeah. Argued yesterday was his appeal in the E. Jean Carroll case.
So I have, that's where I just turned to the E. Jean Carroll, because I was speaking of misogyny.
That did not go well.
He can't stop talking about E. Jean Carroll.
Yeah. He can't.
Do you think, you can run airplanes over his rallies, you can run ads, you can do all this stuff. Does anything get under his skin, though, more than a competent black woman who's beating him in the polls?
No, it's great. Perfect, perfect, perfect planning by the Democrats. Really, they worked it out perfectly. Let's have Biden bomb the debate and then switch him out. It was just brilliant. Just brilliant.
Just the way
they worked it out. Yeah.
When I watched the National Association of Black Journalists event, it was like he got asked one question by a black woman and just like crapped all over the stage. And so I wonder if, you know, sometimes people are like, okay, you know, you got to go rattle him. You got to get under his skin at the debate. I'm not sure she needs to than be like, let me tell you about my policies. And he'll just like, you got to get the guy a diaper or something.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, some people are saying she needs great one-liners. She's just not going to. All she has to do is like, look at him like, are you okay? Can we get you anything? I mean, that's all she's got to do. It's going to be ugly.
Do you think, because I have a suspicion that Donald Trump is going to bring the Gold Star families from that Arlington kerfuffle to the debate.
Really smart. Let's triple down on that. That's great.
Should Kamala have E. Jean Carroll there? I'm just kidding. I actually think that's a bad idea, and I don't endorse it, but I'll just see what George says.
Well, I mean, I think the ghost of all these women is going to, they're all going to rise over this campaign pretty soon.
It does seem, though, that there's something very sort of true and honest in what you just said about they obviously didn't plan for Biden to bomb that debate, but the idea of Donald Trump having to run against a woman right now, because he picked J.D. Vance before he knew he was running against Kamala. And there's something about J.D. Vance. I do these focus groups all the time, and swing voters freaking hate this guy. And the childless cat lady stuff is like everybody knows about it. People open up their conversations with like, I don't know, I don't have kids, and I've got just a dog, and maybe he hates me too.
Some candidates are so bad you can't upholster them over.
I got that joke, but I'm not sure they did. Anybody need a fainting couch? You're bringing out the worst in me. I was going to talk about legal news. Maybe it's over. Hey, are we going to take audience questions? How about we do that? I feel like this room's got some stuff to say. Why don't we take some questions, and you guys can come up to the microphone and...
We can do karaoke, too. I'm very punchy today.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you guys for being here. Are you at all aware of the Trump train trial that's going on right now in Texas?
Trump train trial?
Is this the thing that, like, they were on I-35 and they were the... I did not know that.
The trial has begun, and these psychopathic Trump bus supporters tried to run the Biden-Harris bus off the road. And the cities of New Braunfels and Comal County...
This took 4 years?
And San Marcos has actually been fined $175,000 for their police department not doing their jobs and not responding. Hayes County's in trouble, too. It's something you guys should be aware of, because it's like these kind of people are inspired by Trump, and it needs to stop.
Yeah. Thank you. Who's next?
We agree.
Okay.
Go ahead. Next question.
We're agreeing.
The good news is the Nikki Haley announced this morning that she's available for Donald Trump if he needs her to campaign on his behalf.
Is that true?
Yes. I'm thrilled.
You know, I'm just gonna twist that question just slightly because. Obviously, George and I both have been Republicans and conservatives, although him longer because he's older than I am. Oh my gosh, what? We're not allowed to talk about age. I thought we were talking about age before. But the one skin is crushing it.
For an old man, I have a long memory.
Yeah, okay. Now I forget what we were talking. We've both been Republicans, conservatives for a long time.
Yeah.
What does it mean now that the entire, like, Nikki Haley, probably the most normal person left in the Republican Party, is now just like, yeah, man, I'll get on the trail for this guy. Like, what do we do? Is there anything to go back for?
Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, my brain fries when my brain flip-flops the way, I can't fathom Nikki Haley anymore. I mean, the number of times she's gone back and forth on this guy is just, how many times?
I mean, it's been a lot, but like 5 or 6? After January 6th, she said he was done. She was out. She came back.
Said he's crazy. We actually ran her in one of our psychopath ads saying that, you know, basically says all these weird things and it's crazy things. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't understand. I have never been able to understand what Nikki Haley is trying to do and who she's trying to do it for.
Well, that's what happens when you have no core. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
I was just wondering if Kellyanne is going to endorse...
Is going to what?
is going to support, endorse, vote for Kamala Harris?
No.
She's still working? She's still...
No, she. I mean, she works... she's a pundit on Fox News.
Yeah.
So that's what she does. She kibitzes. She kind of flies in, flits in out of Mar-a-Lago sometimes and kibitzes. And,
I'm going to bail you out of this one. Right, you, Beck, you,
thanks.
Ma'am. Go ahead next. Yes, you.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry. There's another one back there.
So I want to thank both of you, and I've enjoyed the banter. Here's a question, though, for our guest about the Lincoln Project, and that is, you're talking to the converted here, and I think the ads largely target the converted. Based on Sarah's data that we heard about yesterday, it's like, how are we reaching the younger voters to get them out and to make them feel that they're part of the solution to dump Trump?
Well, I mean, I think that's the job of the campaign. I mean, I can't speak for the Lincoln Project. I don't have anything to do with them anymore, although Nick...
But I think he peaced out.
He peaced out, yeah. And what Sarah does is she tries to create a permission structure for Republicans who don't want to vote for a liberal Democrat to vote for a liberal Democrat because we want to save democracy. As far as young people are concerned, I mean, that's not my bit. I don't think that's your bit. A little bit more, maybe, on young Republicans. But that's for the campaign, really, to do.
You know, here, let me just take a swing at this really quickly. Look, it's sort of campaigns take all kinds of different things. And I think, like, Republican voters against Trump is all about getting credible messengers, people who voted for Trump in the past, people who've been lifelong Republicans, explaining why they won't vote for him again. And that is about reaching these swing voters. What George is doing with PsychoPAC, and we work together on this, and there is something about taking sort of the Democratic base, like, you guys get a kick out of it, it amps you up, and so that can be an element of it, but it is not, and this is, I think, something that people confuse. That type of strategy doesn't move swing voters.
Right.
It's for base Democrats, it is for whether or not you can provoke a response out of Trump because he's so thin-skinned. It doesn't take a lot of money, it just takes, you know, all his time, because he's so, it doesn't, that's, now, not saying you shouldn't all donate to what he's doing.
We also create running room for the campaign to do stuff like weird, right? You're talking about weird. We know what they mean is cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. And one of the things that we've been trying to do is trying to expand that territory of discussion, because it's been completely shut off by the mainstream media. And, you know, and anyway.
All right, go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi. First of all, you look great.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
This is so annoying.
Sorry. Sarah, you always look great.
I'm just here to say that I also look great. That's it. Just gonna...
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. I'm just... He does look great. He looks great.
Two things I wanted to say.
Marvelous. Who was that?
So two things. Since you're running ads, I'd like to implore you to run ads that show him actually speaking and saying, like, what he said in 2022 about Project 2025, right next to him declining it, so it can just show how he goes back and forth. And I know you probably already know that, but that's so effective. And then the other thing is, like what you were saying on your panel, that even women have bias, and I've noticed in myself, like, I am so embarrassed to say that for some reason originally I was like, I just don't like her. I don't know why. I just couldn't figure out why. And it's just
didn't
so...
like who?
Kamala?
With Kamala.
Kamala,
yes. And now I'm like, man, I know, y'all, I'm a Pete guy, I'm sorry. But anyway, underestimated her, and I just feel like a lot of us in society underestimate women and what they can do. And so if there was some sort of getting people to get okay with that. Like, well, you know what? Let's give it a try. You know, this hasn't happened before, and men f*** it up, so why don't we just see what women can do?
I think what you're describing is happening to many millions of Americans. They are seeing Kamala Harris. Like, I want to say, I was there first. 5 years ago, I tweeted out that I thought that Kamala Harris would crush Donald Trump. And I'm going to get that framed if she actually does it. So.
Thank you very much.
You, sir, back there.
Hi. my question is, I noticed you went to the Democratic National Convention last month. Was that your first DNC?
I had never
DNC?
Been. Yes, that was my first
okay.
DNC.
Okay, and what was your experience like?
Oh, I had a lot of fun. It was a lot. I mean, I've been to three Republican conventions, 2000, 2004, 2016, and none of them were as fun as the Democratic National Convention this year. And because basically it was really just the energy was something I had never seen in an arena for any event before like that. It was just, it really, really was. I mean, it's a combination of, I think it's the near-death experience that the Democrats had. I mean, when you survive something like that, and then all of a sudden, not only did you survive, you know, you're thriving, and you just woke up, it's like, there's nothing better.
You're pumped about it.
It's like, you're pretty pumped. I mean, it's like, I think Winston Churchill once said, there's nothing like being, nothing quite exhilarating as being shot at without success.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they nearly blew themselves up, so, yeah. You know, they were
doing
pretty
well. The other thing about the convention that was great is they were making a lot of room for people like us. Like, you know, they were taking back freedom. They were taking back the flag. They had Adam Kinzinger in primetime. Like, for people like us who want to be there for Kamala in this moment, like, they were like, yeah, you're in the tent. And so that was a good experience. You, sir.
Yeah. Hey, I was at the 2000 RNC. I think one time when I was stoned, I registered Republican in my 20s. But I just want to know, does in the aftermath...
Do you think that's Don Jr.'s excuse?
I just want to know, in the aftermath, does this continue where we have this discourse when we can talk to each other, regardless of who wins? Yeah. Does this continue?
Well, I mean, I hope so, because I think part of the thing that how Donald Trump has all brought us together is that...
Yes.
Yeah. He's made me realize that the differences that I have with most people on the other side of the political spectrum aren't that great in the grand scheme of things, okay? And,
yeah, I mean, look, I think that viewing politics as sort of blood sport and tribal is bad, and I think one of the things that we've got to figure out is how to remember, like, there's a bigger tribe for us, which is that we're all Americans, we all want to do what's best for the country, and, like,
for
us
right
now, we feel like this is what's best for the country, and so I think for people like us, I don't know that we ever, maybe, I've never felt a tremendous amount of enmity with Democrats.
I used to roll my eyes at them.
Yeah, I just thought they were, Americans who had some wrong-headed ideas about things.
Talk radio. Had some issues,
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. Weird, yeah. Good weird, yeah.
But
yeah.
Actually, you know, what I hope more for us than anything is that one day we can all start disagreeing about things as mundane as tax policy again, because that would be a good place to be.
An end of gridlock would be good.
You, sir. All right.
All right.
Book them horns.
I've got a question about the Supreme Court. And so, knowing the makeup of the court, if Kamala were to win and Democrats were to get control of the Senate, would you be in favor of adding judges onto the court once that happens?
Absolutely not. Go ahead.
I'm against sort of a court packing plan of the FDR variety, but I would be open to a system that kept the panel size of Supreme Court decision panels at 9, but added justices every couple of years, so that you had more justices than you actually had sitting on the panels. And it's similar to what Biden is proposing. I would be open to that, where you basically have every 2 years you have a new appointment to the Supreme Court, and the 9 youngest people generally sit on panels except for when there's recusals. I don't know. I mean, I think that could be done constitutionally. It's very, very tricky. But it would, I think, take a lot of pressure off of confirmation hearings, and I think it would depoliticize the court in the longer term.
Here's the thing. Ask yourself, if Democrats had a one-seat advantage on the court, would you be proposing this change?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of idea, this is something that people have talked about in the past because of the politicization of the confirmation hearings. And I do think that there may be some way of kind of taking out the pressure such that, you know, oh my gosh, when is somebody going to die? And then that person's going to be on for 50 years. I think that's something.
All right, this has to be the last question because we're out of time.
When Trump dispatched his mob on January 6th, and people died as a result of it. Don't you think he's guilty or at least complicit of either manslaughter or murder?
No. You actually have to have an intent that somebody die, and you actually have to perform a physical. No, I mean, I don't think that works legally. I do think he's morally responsible for all of the injuries that were suffered that day. They would not have happened but for him, but I don't, you know, I think as a legal matter, it doesn't amount to manslaughter or murder.
Okay, with that, not manslaughter. Thank you guys so much for coming. We really appreciate it. George, thanks for explaining the legal news.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption too. The legal tangles and troubles, they're growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Oh, Conway, tell him well about it. Those legal problems can't live without it. From the Emoluments to the Russian ties. Listen close.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,